What is up, Hockey IQ listeners? I'm here to chat about our newest sponsor, Sensarena. Your brain is one of the most important parts of your body. Why not invest in a tool that allows you to train it? With Sensarena, athletes can gain a competitive edge using VR training. Players are able to go through a scenario thousands of times without having to step foot on the ice. No more waiting around for puck touches or perfect scenarios. Sensarena can enhance reaction time, decision-making, and multitasking abilities, making you the next MVP. I mean, if the LA Kings are using it, it's got to be good. With our promo code HockeyIQ, you receive $50 off an annual plan purchase. Head on over to Sensarena.com to check it all out.
On the Hockey IQ podcast today, we bring on Anton Walsh over at the Austrian RB Salzburg Academy. Tony, great to have you on.
Hello, great to be here, yes.
So I'm curious, obviously a lot of people, majority of the people that listen to this podcast come from the North American background. So the idea of an academy is a bit lost on them. So if you wouldn't mind just giving us a basic background of what is a hockey academy?
For us, it's a really development center, because in Austria, hockey is not that big. We have like in the whole Austria, 5,000 kids playing hockey, and in Germany, around 18,000. And we try really to provide them the best service we can get. So that was the idea of to establish that academy here in Salzburg with Red Bull.
And what does the academy provide? Like, what is the age group we start? And then what are the resources that these players are getting to utilize?
The players, what we can provide is they start here with grade 9. Let's say they are U15 players. They're coming here. We provide housing, school, and the hockey program. It's an all-year-round hockey program.
All right, so it's all year round. Are they on the ice all year round? Is there an off season of sorts? Hockey's obviously usually a late specialization sport, so I'm assuming there might be some gymnastics and other activities to help round out these players.
Our academy, I think, unique for us is our driving training. We have our own doctors, own physiotherapists, own conditioning coaches for each age group, so they can provide them for a whole year service, and that really works out well. So basically, the guys can be on the ice the whole year. There's just 1 month, late April after the playoffs. Otherwise, they can go on the ice. It's about by themselves, you know, for free ice, or it's training sessions. But the main focus is really on development, the human body, and also the schooling.
So is the school through RB's academy, or is there a partnership there? How does that work?
No, it's a public school. We just we work together with these guys. So our boys attend these schools, and the school basically is built around sport. So because in the wintertime, we play a lot international in Scandinavia, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Germany. And so we need that help from these guys, the support.
All right. Obviously, Red Bull puts a lot of resources into many sporting activities. How did the focus become on hockey? Where did that come from? Obviously, we see F1 racing. We see all the great soccer players that have come through. I mean, I love
Colin, written on him a few times. Like, he's fantastic. But why hockey? How did that become part of the family?
Basically, hockey was the first sponsorship from Red Bull, from Mr. Mateschitz, the founder of Red Bull. It was his first sponsorship in sports was hockey. So he stayed every time with hockey. He loved that sport, and he provided us all the help and the support. That was really great. So it started out, and for sure then came soccer into the picture. Soccer got bigger. There is a bigger market, but hockey every time stayed there, and we were lucky. With the help of our first GM, Pierre Paget, that he really forced Mr. Mateschitz to build that academy together with soccer. And then we're really fortunate now to have all the facilities together with soccer we can use. And that's a really, really big help. So you can
So
think
this.
about the academy. It's big, like it's a big facility. It's 45,000 square meter. There are soccer fields out there. We have two hockey rinks. Then we have our own fitness center. It's a huge one. We have our gymnastics. We have our rehab center. We have our own science center for Red Bull soccer and hockey.
Got it. So you mentioned dry land is a big proponent. How is dry land utilized? I've heard there's some skating treadmills and resources like that. How is dry land put into this whole picture of the academy? How are you involved? What are your areas of focus?
Basically, we have our own department for that. So they're really working on that part. So we are just helping them. We're guiding them. We're working together. Just that you see, we have U15 team, U16 team, U18, U20, and then young pro level, a young pro team. And how it works is every team has two on-ice coaches, one goalie coach, one physiotherapist, and one conditioning coach. And all these guys working together, and the conditioning department itself has their own doctor. So these guys are really planning the whole season straight. And we can test our guys. We have our own test components we use. And also before every practice, everything we can work, we do lactate tests. So we know all the time the real level for physical level from these guys. If they are tired or not, we don't guessing it. So we got science proof. That's a big advantage for us.
All right. So I think that's going to be a foreign concept to majority of the folks listening here. So you're doing lactate tests before every practice to understand where fatigue is at. Is that correct? So how does that work? I have a vague idea of it, but not a super clear picture of what you're looking for through that test to look at fatigue levels.
Fatigue levels, it's like basically it's we take blood from the ear labs, like from the ears, and everything a sample, and then it goes through a testing machine, and then we know if the lactate level is really high, let's say over 5 or 6, whatever, when these guys doing the warm up, then we know where we're going this week, if the guys are really fatigued or if they are fresh, so we try to work with that.
So, how do you manage once they hit that high fatigue level? Is it usually a team specific, player specific level that the coach is taking into effect? Are we just gonna maybe skip an ice session, or are we
Yes,
taking load
right.
off?
We got the notice. We got the notice from our off-ice department that these guys needs more recovery. He's tired. So could be that he's skipping the ice time or replanning the ice practice anyway, according to that fatigue level.
So what does a practice look like when you've hit high fatigue level, compared to a normal one?
To a normal one. we focus more on technique stuff. Really more on technique stuff. There is no high intense drills, whatever. It's more technique, skating, stick handling, shooting, just to get these guys on the ice flowing, but not really bring them into intense phases.
Excellent. So you're using a lot of sports science within the development realm. What else is happening in that sports science area? Like I know EV Zug has a whole sports science department, and they're focusing on that. When I've talked to Ted Soikkanen and some other people over there, Dan Tangnes. So I'm curious, how does sports science play into what you're doing, and how are you utilizing that sports science specifically? If you give some examples.
As I just told you before, with the practice and all the testing we are doing, so basically our sports science helps us a lot with our practice. Basically, we are follow these guys what they tell us, and so then we find together a plan how we do our weekly training, our monthly training on the all over the year, what we're doing the all over the year, working with these guys close together. There's so
Excellent.
many specific stuff I cannot talk about, but basically it's really for the athlete. It's the best for the athlete. And we try to at most to rely on science.
And
So not
with
on guessing, on personal guessing as an on-ice coach. I think, oh my guys, I have to make them ready for playoffs. And then the office department said, no, you're doing it like this. We start that different level and not what you want. So you have to start and learn to accept this stuff and really work with these guys close together and trust them. For sure, you have to trust them totally.
So obviously you're taking a lot of data. Where do you go on the realm of focusing on the data and sticking to that versus maybe trusting your gut sometimes? You're like, yeah, it's showing that they're tired, or maybe they have a little more to give. Maybe we want to build a little more mental toughness. Or just how do you focus on like that intuition versus hard data?
Yeah, basically we focus on data a lot. We try to doing that. Sure, you have your moments where you get to work these guys out, but I have to say, it sounds complicated, but it's not complicated. Basically, we are nearly close what you're guessing and what's really the science is. When you know the players, you think about you're working with these guys the whole year together. So you get to know them, you know how these guys are working, how their brain is working, how they function. And it depends a lot on school. We have to also decide with school what's going on when there's a lot of tests in school. We have to lower down on a workload on the ice, in off ice. So this is a really, it's a mix of everything. It's a mix of schooling, it's a mix of off ice and on ice purposes.
All right, I can relate to taking it back during final exams and giving the kids a little bit of a break. They're going to be tired enough from studying and all of the
Yeah,
mental
right.
strain that comes with that. From a physical strain standpoint, obviously there's a lot that goes into recovery and even fueling. I'm curious, how do you guys monitor nutrition? Because obviously that's a big component. I know a lot of players that don't eat enough and therefore struggle to put on weight, for example.
Yeah, we have our own nutritionist who is taking care of that, who also works together with our off-ice department and on-ice department. So there's a let's say a weekly exchange. According to the game plan, if we have like as an example, 2 games a week or 3 games or 1 game, and how many practices on ice. So there is we're working together. There's a nutritionist and tells us what's the best for the boys. And there we have our own cafeteria, and there is just healthy food. There's just healthy food provided by them according to the week, what's the workload is per day.
So does each player, once they get into the cafeteria, have the basically like their own decision to what they want to eat, or is there a prescribed meal of sorts?
There's their own decision, but they also prescribe meals, and it's everything there, from all like vegetarian, vegan, whatever you have to follow or you want to do, or you get your different meats. You get a lot of salads, vegetables. Everything is set up and healthy cooked. That's very important. So the nutritionist is working together with the cook, with the chef of the kitchen, and they work out a weekly plan for soccer and hockey. Because we have different plans, different training times, so that's also very important.
Are the plans very similar when it comes to nutrition between hockey and soccer? With soccer having so much running, maybe there are more carbs there. What do you see differences between those
Not
subsets
much
of players?
differences because we on hockey, we also believe in that basic endurance. We do really, really a lot of basic endurance, a lot of stationary biking. To get the guys in shape, to build that foundation, the pillar, and then we go from there. So basically, with the food, we are similar. It's just that these guys having another days where they play their games, and they need the different stuff. But otherwise, we are really according the same stuff.
Excellent. All right. So we got physicals. How are we developing that? We talked about technical stuff. What about just like the brain? Like, are you guys doing film sessions? What do those look like? Are you assigning homework? Do players get to watch their own shifts on a platform? I feel like
Yes, right.
that's a huge piece that we could dive into next.
That's a lot. We do a lot of data there, and that's also with videotaping. And these guys get their own stuff, their own video sessions with the coaches. They get sent their videos, their shifts, and we expect from them feedback, how they saw their shifts, how they saw their game, and then they discuss it together with the coach, with the coaching staff.
So is the player explaining their shifts as they go along, and the coaches then providing feedback through them maybe going
Yeah.
off the rails to what maybe like, maybe you should think about this instead? Or is the coach pointing out specifics and the player then explains, what am I doing? Like, how does that video session kind of work?
Exactly as you said, both ways. We do it both ways, or it's just a comment from him feedback that he sends the coach a feedback, just a written one. This I saw in this case, this was this shift, and this I saw there and there. And then later on, you talk about that.
So is it always one-on-one sessions? Obviously tactical stuff where it's maybe like a
Yeah, we have
pre-scout.
tactical meetings. We have tactical meetings, or like pre-game meetings, tactical meetings during the week. But basically, it's a lot of individual stuff. We try to provide these guys.
What are some like common themes out of these film sessions that young players are struggling with, whether it's like seeing certain things or, executing terribly? What would be some common things you're feeling out of the film sessions that are maybe some reoccurring items, some common mistakes?
Yeah, to see, to see the inside view. The inside view is much better sometimes than the outside view. You have to get them back in reality. That's the most time of the new kids. They see the stuff on social media and everything, and they feel good about a lot of moves they're doing. And you have to tell them, okay, there's a lot to improve, a lot of room to improve. Basically, they see themselves much better than basically sometimes they are. And they are good players in the academy because we don't just can't apply. We have to go through a tryout here. And as I said, because of a structure that we have that pro team in Salzburg and another pro team in Munich. So we try to find the best German players and the best Austrian players. Basically, our teams are selection teams from Germans and Austrians. So you're really working on a really good level, but still you have the same problems as everywhere.
Well, that's so curious, right? It's obviously a selection team, so it's going to be a lot of the best of the best from both countries. How do players handle going into that environment? I feel like that's got to be a struggle. Like you've been the best player in your town, and now you're going into a much bigger
Yes.
ecosystem where you might not be the best anymore, or like you actually have to work hard for, earning your spot on the power play or whatever it may be.
That's the big shocker in the beginning. For all these guys, as you said, they're coming out of their local teams. They're stars. They're having play time as much as they want, basically. And so they're coming here and they're one of a lot of good guys, good players. So they have to adjust to that and it takes a little bit of time. But what we are doing all with these guys when they're coming here, there's some days in the academy, and then you just go away with these guys to tournament. Basically, we play tournaments in Sweden and Finland, and to get these guys going to build the key team chemistry. And out of that, it's much easier for the guys to adjust, but it takes a little bit, little while to do that. It depends on the person.
Yeah, it definitely depends on the person. I talk with some people at the National Development Program here in the States, and that's always one of the big things that they have to prepare the kids for, because they have to recruit those players for the next year. Because you'll notice some of the players, leave the team and go elsewhere after year number one. They're not getting what they want, or there's a million, it could be a homesickness, all of these items, but it's the first time a lot of these players have had adversity and had to really fight for things, and understand like, oh, there's a whole nother level to attain. Like I have my trajectory, but man, I can really go even higher than I probably thought I could. And it's not going to be easy at all. And just preparing mentally for like, you may not see the ice time you think, or like the Chicago Steel's another great example. It's like forced adversity. Like they'll have a top player where they'll play them fourth line minutes, or they're rolling all four lines and everyone's getting equal playing time, especially early in the season, and everyone knows it's coming, but it's still difficult when you're used to getting the maximum amount, or now you're getting that shock. It's the same thing of like going to that next level. You're probably going to start on the fourth or third line and you're gonna have to work your way up, and if you've never done that before, it can be a mental grind and really affects how you play the game. So
Yeah, what you can expect here is like what we, as I said, we invite these players, like we scout them, or it sounds really scouting. Like basically in Austria, it's easy, and in Germany, You're going to the national team camps, you 14 squads, then you see the best guys, and you get the recommended from the teams or from coaches, or you can apply by yourself. So we have a look at you, and then you get an invitation. And the invitation is not like a tryout, like in the States. They're coming 60 guys, and they are working out their 10 spots, whatever. What we are doing is like per week or for 3 days, we invite a number between 5 and 7 guys. Between 5 and 7 players, they are coming here, so they get to know the academy, they get to know the school, and they get to know the team, because what they do, they practice with the already existing team, so they have a show, they know what's going on, and that helps for the players a lot. Wow, that's it. That's what they're expecting from me, or that's what I have to expect playing a level, and then they're really getting grounded, they are wow, and yeah, then most of them take the challenge.
So we've talked about Germany and Austria. Is there ever players that come from elsewhere? Like, like Slovakia is not that far
Yeah, we
away.
have, we got players. Yeah, sure, we have also, we get players from Slovakia. Slavkovsky spent a season with us. It depends on how it fits in with the school system and everything, how we can work that out. But there is, sure, we have guys from Scandinavia, Denmark, Sweden, Finland. Everyone had to be here. Swiss guys. So it's not really depending on just Germans and Austrians. We are open to some other guys, too.
Yeah, and I noticed looking just on the page that every once in a while there's some North Americans that find their way over
Yeah.
there as well. How
Yeah,
does
that
that
was
come to be?
when Pierre Paché started the academy, that was his vision to invite all these best guys, basically be in competition with Shattuck St. Mary's, to get all these young players who are not eligible to play for the USHL or for the Major Junior League, to get them here to Salzburg. It happened with Noah Dobson. He was our leading example. So these guys came in here, or Red Savage. All these kids came here, and we worked with it. They stayed with us for one season, and then they left again. But then our focus shifted, because we got the rights for the Red Bull Munich, and also the right to build a multifunctional arena there. So then the business plan shifted to more to get German and Austrian players.
Excellent.
But
All right. So,
it's not a rule. It's not a rule. It's not a written rule. So basically, we are international.
yeah, and it seems like you were very early. RB was very early to this academy idea, because I've seen other countries adopt it. And Latvia's got their own now. I want to say Belarus also has the like national development program type thing. It almost seems like Austria would never need that because you're already fulfilling that need. So the national governing body probably doesn't need to step in. How does the clubs function within the ecosystem? Because a lot of things in the United States and Canada are driven by Hockey Canada or USA Hockey. And it seems like there might be more of a club type centered approach when it comes to European hockey.
Yeah, that's sure. That's what we are doing. Red Bull is totally independent, so there is no funding from the state or from the federation. Red Bull everything does by themselves. But we have a really good relationship with the Austrian Hockey Federation, so we try to apply to get all the teams in the local system. Because as I told you in the beginning, you have selection teams. So when you're 15 guys coming and you're playing in the Austrian U15 league, you might be too strong. That's why we play in the Czech U15. But we have also our Austrian guys who play in the Austrian league. So every age group, we can provide a team for the league. And that helps the Austrian Hockey Federation a lot. And what we also provide is, because we have the facilities, the infrastructure, we invite these guys for having training camps, training sessions, team camps at our academy. Or we even have tournaments there. So that we invite us, that we tell the Austrian Federation, yeah, you're 18, there comes the Czech team, there comes Latvian, whatever, who is coming, and they'll be doing a tournament here. So we try to help these guys in this area too. I would say we have a really good relationship with the Federation.
Wonderful. All right. That exhausted my list of questions of diving into the academy. Is there anything that I missed or anything that you want to bring up?
Oh, no, basically, you touched a lot of stuff. Sorry, with the with the off ice, we could go much deeper, but there should be talking to our specialist. Perhaps you have once a time where you can invite this guy. His name is Dr. Klein, and he really can talk or really deep. What's the plan with these guys? I just gave you a little bit of overview. But for you guys, it's that for us in Academy, it's also important when you as a hockey guy, you come to us and you got accepted, you're here for the whole time being, like your school education is going on. Either your disciplinary issues and you get released from school, but otherwise we keep you. So there's not every year a cut. No, you can't make the next team. So we have really patience with these guys because, as I said, Austria has not that many hockey players. So we need to get these guys going to the pro level. And what we'd like now, because not everyone can play for Red Bull Salzburg, for Red Bull Munich. But now we provide the league with players. So we provide the league with our player, with our in every team in Austria and every team in the German league. Now there is one or two guys out of the academy after 10 years, because as we started with 2014, so it's 10 years now, and that's a really good accomplishment. And that's what we like. So we are really patient with these guys, and they can stay with us until their school is done, and then we release them to get play hockey somewhere else.
I think that's a really cool thing, and glad you brought that up with the no cuts. I know it's just absolutely cutthroat. I help with the local AAA program looking at talent, and there's always player movement at the end of every single season of guys that want to move on or players that the organization wants to move on. For many reasons, discipline and performance, etc. So I like that concept of being able to have that patience of like, you're going to have this kid that you can't just get rid of them. Like, you have to actually focus on coaching and helping making them better in all areas. So, that's awesome. And then I know you're a subscriber of the Hockey IQ newsletter. So what kind of, favorites do you have? How do you utilize it with your players?
My favorites are with the skating sessions. Everything you are about skills anyway. How you describe the skill sets or game tactics. You have awesome tactics platform, and I like it. It's really easy for the guys to understand. So I don't have to. Basically, you help me to ease up my work a lot. I have to say, because if I look at your tactic stuff, it's very easy to show that the guys. Without any, adding from my side, it's clear, really clear. That's I really like.
That's perfect. Just give it to the players, and your job's basically done. All right.
Like the coffee coach, thank you.
Yeah, the coffee
Yeah,
game.
exactly.
Just time to sit back and let them do everything. And that's a big component too. Like, how do we empower the player to become their own best coach? They're the ones that have to end up doing all of this stuff. The more that they can take it, put it in their subconscious, and just becomes part of their habits or their knowledge bank. The better it is. So I'm glad that you're able to get some use out of it and save yourself some time, because obviously coaching takes a ton of time, especially if you're doing a lot of one-on-ones and one-on-one skill sessions or one-on-one film sessions. That could eat up an entire day really fast.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure.
Awesome. Well, Tony, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate your time and expertise, and really giving us the insight into your process and RB's academy system. Definitely eye-opening to me, and I know everyone else is really going to enjoy this one.
Well, thank you.
That concludes this week's episode. Thanks for joining us here at Hockey IQ. If you haven't already, take a quick moment to hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, and drop a review. If you want to be a great teammate, even recommend us to a friend. You can follow us at Hockey's Arsenal on Twitter and Instagram. Check out the website, hockeysarsenal.com, where you can subscribe to the weekly newsletter. You won't regret it. Catch your beauts here next week for a brand new episode.